Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One mistake in the bulletin, and I tried to proofread this and did not catch it, so Suzanne, don't get all a word. You're not doing another children's sermon this morning. Although that wouldn't be a bad thing, but it'll probably give you a heart attack. That was last Sunday, and I did proofread this, but I did not catch that myself, so we do apologize. Do not like to see mistakes. I want to thank the women for the luncheon. Had some pretty bad snow this week, as you know, and I kept it down a little bit. But the women have started something new. This came from Anna, I believe. They bought some takeout trays, thank you. Plastic, they've got them stored in the freezer, and when I go out and visit shut-ins, I'll be able to take them everywhere except to nursing homes, and I can take them a meal from those luncheons when there's food left over. So they've got them in the freezer for me to take out, so I'm very excited about that. I'm sure the families will be excited about that too. Yeah, so a lot of people will be benefiting from that. So we thank you for those kind of ideas. It's great to be thinking about those kind of things, reaching out to the shut-ins. The Bible, as you see, up on the screen, starts next Sunday, 8 o'clock on the History Channel. Runs for 5 weeks. I hope that you'll take the time to watch it if you can. If you got a DVR and you can record it, do so and watch it at your convenience. I think it may be on Lifetime. I did not actually go back and double check that on Wednesdays. You can check that to see. I think that maybe those two channels are together. I put a sign-up sheet in the back to sign up for the self-study guide or group study guide. It is used as both. If we order 10 or more in the Sunday school class this morning decided to do that, Bill is going to lead them in that discussion. So they're already ordering 10, so we'll get the discounted price. So if you want to sign up, now the Sunday school class is just going to write 10, and then Bill will distribute those. Anyone not in the Sunday school class, please sign your name and your phone number, email address. If I need to contact you, I can. I'm also going to teach a class in my home at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, and I want your name, email, in case something happens, and, you know, snow or whatever, we can contact you. If we have to change it to a different night, whatever it might be, that I can contact you if you'd like to be in a small group setting. And we'll try to start more of these small groups as time goes on. Some like 5 weeks, maybe take a break, whatever. So I'm looking at some different materials and something as a big kickoff program in the fall. So I'd like for you to be praying about that with banners and something really to advertise to our community that we're here and we're not just doing nothing, but we're trying to do new and innovative things. So please be in prayer about that. So Sunday school, Wednesday night, and this will start in a couple weeks, or you can take the study guide and do a self-home study guide, and you read it every day, and you could even do your individual thing. And there's also a DVD that comes with it. If you want to do a self-study guide at home, then you want to do the small group thing by yourself or with a neighbor, you can also order the DVD. Now, the books will be about $8. If you order the DVD with it, it'll be around $20. I don't know the exact price until I order them. I'll put it on my credit card and then see what the shipping is, and then I'll know the exact price. And Sunday school class is going to pay for this. So if you're interested in this, please sign up and let me know, because we've got to order them this week. But I'm very excited from what I've seen, and Cliff is going to come up in just a moment and we're going to watch a trailer of it and get a little preview. One great hour of sharing. I hope that you'll give to that. Arlie spoke on it last week, and it's really something good that the Presbyterian Church does. We're planning a lay Sunday on April the 7th, the Sunday after Easter. Really excited about this. This came out of worship committee, and You know, the one thing somebody said, well, I don't know if I'm going to sign up. Well, Bill has signed up to preach, and so we'd like to have some other people to sign up to do the prayers. We can work with you, and I just think this is a great opportunity for our church to do something a little different and get everyone involved. I will be here that day, and I'll help anyone with any part of that activity. Easter Flowers sign up per capita, 26 per member, and if you've got a prayer or praise card, you can pick those up each Sunday at the door and sign those, and the elder on the door will read them, then I'll say the prayer, and I can take those prayer requests home and pray again for them during the week and send those out. If you want to be on an email, please fill out a card. Okay, I think you see there's a lot of drama in that, and they show you the drama, try to get you excited, but not all of it will be quite so adventurous, and not every story will be told, but they try to show you the thread of redemption throughout this, and about Jesus being the Savior of the world. So I do hope that you'll take time and watch it, and during the next 5 weeks I'll be preaching the series on this journey from, and each one will take on a different theme for 5 weeks, ending on Easter. And we'll show you a video clip during the sermon to go along with it, something a little different for a few weeks. So God bless you, and I do hope that you'll enjoy it. And we have a minute for mission listed too, but I think that's from last week also. Okay, sure to sign your caring books. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise, 588, We Have Come Into His House. And just remind you, when you watch this at home, that it'll be set to your sound liking and your television. This little box is not the best sound system in the world. So. Continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for choosing to live among us. We praise you for allowing Jesus to live in our hearts. Forgive us when we continue to sin after claiming to be your disciples. Help us to be able to live our faith in the light of your love. Teach us how to open our hearts and our minds to your word. May we find a desire to read our Bibles and spend time in prayer. Show us how to let Christ all the way into our lives. May we become devout citizens of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ Jesus we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We
us reaffirm our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Remember, if you're not comfortable right now because of illness or shaking hands, just let the person know. Very lovely, very lovely. Responsive reading is Sanctification 673, back of your hymnals. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires.
Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness.
When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness.
What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature.
For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are contrary to each other, so that you do not do what you want to do.
But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like.
I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. This time I'll call Cliff, the elder on the door, to come forth to present the prayer and praise requests. And if you're still not familiar with the system, you can pick those up at the doors you come in, fill those out, and give them to the elder at the door.
Thank you, Leonard. Today we have seven prayer requests and one praise request. First prayer request is from Mabe Sasso. Her sister, Dot DeHaven, had died this week, and she's asking for prayers for her children. Next we have prayers from Shawnee Mueller, prayers for the Johnstons family. This is something that's been in the news. Grandmother Johnston was victimized this week by her grandson and passed away. So prayers for the Johnstons, Muellers, and the Marsos family during this difficult time. Please have prayers for Agnes Irwin. This comes from Marie Rach. She had a seizure and fell out of bed. She's currently in Mercy Hospital. Please give us prayers for Liz McDonald. She's at Passavant. And we have a prayer request from Kathy Sagey for her sister, Patty. She pulled out her back at work and is having trouble walking and is in a lot of pain. She's asking for prayers that she recovers soon. And for her daughter, Rebecca, she has an appointment with a concussion doctor, and she hopes all goes well this week. And she also has a praise request for the physical therapist who's been working with Rebecca, that her elbow healed much faster than expected, and that's good news. And finally, from Kathy also, prayers for her family members, her sisters, brothers, and nephews, that they find jobs, find peace with each other by knowing Jesus is with them, and find a way to get health insurance or at least some assistance for medications as possible. Please keep these people in your prayer.
Thank you, Cliff. I just want to add two funerals that I did this week. Virginia, Dolly, Regret, I'm not sure how to say that. She used to come here some, and tied in with Agnes Ruckdashel, family. That was Agnes was her mother, and Ralph Crawford family. Let's keep that, those families in our prayers too. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lead you into the Lord's prayer, saying debts and debtors. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God that is involved in our lives and in our world, that you've not just created and gone away, but you are here. You provided salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, and you've empowered each of us and your church through your Holy Spirit. And yet we have responsibilities, first of all, to accept you as our Lord and Savior, to take you into our hearts, and then to begin to grow in a spiritual nature. And we do this by fellowshipping together, worshiping together, studying together, reading our Bibles and books about the Bible, and even things like watching the Bible miniseries, trying to become better citizens of the kingdom of God, more citizens of heaven than citizens of this world. Help us to do so. All the prayer requests that have been presented to you this morning, we lift them up. We know that you already know all of the needs, all of the problems, all the things we give praise for. But we take this time because it's important for us to remember that you are watching out for us, that we can come to you in prayer. And not just when things have gone terribly wrong in our lives, but to keep that conversation open on a daily basis, so we know that you are there with us to guide us, to help keep us from a sinful nature, to be able to fight those things that would try to hone us and bring us down and drag us back into the old ways of life. Help us to be who you have called us to be. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that your Son Jesus was willing to come into this world, suffer all the shame and indignity that was thrust upon him, especially with the cross. You've been so good and so kind to us. Help us to be good and kind to one another, and not just to those that we like, but those that we may not like so much, and reach out to them in Christian compassion, and help them find Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and help us build good relationships with everyone. Lord, we pray for all the things that we're trying to do at Glenshell Valley, that you will bless us and guide us in all of our endeavors. Lead us in your paths, not in ours. Help us to submit to your will, just as Jesus did when he was going to the cross. And thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, our screen song, is Sanctuary. Thank you. Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring about our needs and even many of our wants and our desires. And we thank you for preparing a place in heaven for us, that we can feel safe and secure, that we can feel a sanctuary, not just in this building, but out in life when things come against us. We know that you are there with us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to give of our monies, to give of our time, and the essence of who we are as human beings and who we are as Christians, to serve you by serving others. Thank you for all the gifts and talents, Lord. May we use them for your glory, to draw people to your name and to salvation and eternal life. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Invite Bill to come up and read the scripture, and while he's coming, a couple of announcements about the Bible series. There's also the DVD set, of course, will be on sale, but they're going to show the series before it comes out, so if somehow you miss it or you want to buy it for yourself, Barnes & Noble will be selling it, and I'm sure Amazon and a lot of places will be selling it. There's also a novel that goes along with it. They sent me a copy of this the unedited version. I'm reading it now and I'm really, really enjoying it. So I'll get a price on that and find out who's selling that if you would like that also.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Today's scripture has two parts to it. The first part of it, Jesus is answering the Pharisees and showing kind of his contempt for Herod, for he knows that he will have to fulfill his mission, and there's nothing that Herod or the Pharisees or anybody else on earth can do to change that. The second part of it is his lament, his sorrow for Jerusalem, who over the years have seen the prophets and others come to try and encourage them to be faithful, and yet they have turned away from God every time. So listen to your own personal message as I read Luke 13, 31 through 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Title of the sermon this morning, Who Lives in You? That's the question that comes to mind maybe as we read those words of Jesus this morning when he tells the Pharisees, go tell that fox, Herod, that I will drive out demons and heal people today, and tomorrow on the third day will reach my gold. Jesus is saying, I will do what I must because God lives within me. I am a citizen of heaven. Let Herod do what he must do, and I will do what I must do. Now let your imagination run free for a moment, if you will, and picture yourself, your personality, who you really are, because no one's going to know what you're thinking. Picture yourself as a house. Any kind of a house will do. I've been watching a series on Masterpiece Theater, Downton Abbey, really gotten into that. And in it, it's a castle, beautiful big castle. You can think of a big castle if you would like. Banners waving in the breeze, a place that is safe and secure. Maybe you want to think of a rustic cabin tucked away in the woods that is peaceful, quiet refuge where no one is going to bother you. Maybe you want to think about a house that is a nice little retirement home with a rocking chair on the front porch, a shade tree in the front, and in the back you've got all these nice flowers and a gentle breeze is blowing and the flowers are just shaking just a little bit with their nice blooms. Now move in closer and imagine the front door of the house, whether a castle or a cabin or a retirement home. Imagine someone there pushing that doorbell and it ringing, or someone clanking on that knocker, or rapping with their fist upon the door. If someone came to your door of your house, who would they find living inside? Who lives within you? I'm not sure about you, but I've met people, and you have too, who gave me the distinct impression that if I went inside of their home, of their lives, I wouldn't find anyone there. Or if I went inside their house, it'd be so cluttered with junk, there wouldn't be room for anyone else within their house. Or if some houses are great and impressive on the outside, but once I would be able to enter in, I would find out that everything is really artificial. Who lives in you? That's the question that we ask on this second Sunday in Lent. What guides your decisions? What sets the course for your life overall? What determines the way you think? And what determines the way that you treat others around you? Most of us would like to say that it is our Christian faith that determines who we are and how we act and respond to other people in life. But is that really so? There are two kinds of people who can be home: citizens of this world and citizens of heaven. Think back over the decisions you made just this past week. Who made those decisions? A citizen of this world or a citizen of heaven? Who made them? Recall the way you spoke to those around you and the way that you may have treated someone in your family, a neighbor, at work. What about the offering that you brought this morning? What kind of relationship does it reflect? And I'm not just talking about financial. I'm talking more about attitude. Are you prepared to worship God? Did you prepare yourself for the worship service? Did you pray for the worship service? Are you expecting a blessing? And are you expecting to bless someone yourself here today? Who lives in you? What stirs each day of your life? We like to answer that is our Christian faith. Is it? The Christian faith is more than just a set of doctrines. It is more than coming to church on Sunday and reciting the Apostles' Creed or the Gloria Patra or the Lord's Prayer, as beautiful and as wonderful and as affirming as they are. Our Christian faith, though, is really the lives that we live, what emanates out of us, what comes forth, the set of moral principles that guides our decisions and are reflected in the words that we use on a daily basis. It is our response to the people around us and how we help people and how we treat other people. The reality of our Christian faith is based on our relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Look and see, Jesus said, how I'll act. I go about my business. I will continue to care for the sick and proclaim God's word, his mission to the world. Who lives in you? The answer must always be, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. The same love, the same compassion that Jesus had and showed when he walked upon the earth is what is present within me. And that's what I want to show to the world, and that's what I want to show when the world is not even looking. I am a citizen of heaven. God is my Father, and it is up to me to hold on to that citizenship. I cannot say I'm a citizen of heaven, a child of God, and make myself a stranger to the house of God. I cannot say I'm a citizen of heaven and live a life as if I am a secret agent, afraid that someone during the week will discover my true identity. The season of Lent calls us to look within ourselves and ask the question, who lives in me? It calls us to be honest with ourselves and admit that even though we claim to be citizens of heaven, we're often strangers to God. A researcher for a publishing company recently interviewed a number of people to determine what types of books they like to read. One of the most common answers were the Bible and Shakespeare. And if you go on Facebook, sometimes when people put up their books, I just was on a guy's, and these are the books that he had listed. And the Bible, Shakespeare, like A Tale of Two Cities, The Red Badge of Courage, books that I had to read in college. In return for their cooperation, the company offered each person a free book with a list of titles that their publishing company published. There was a large variety of books to choose from, ranging from Christian devotionals to classical titles and some of the most recent authors. It was interesting to note that the most popular choice out of all the books, it came down to one book of this supposedly high-minded group of readers that had all these classic books and everything. The Murder of a Burlesque Queen. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with reading that or reading spy novels or mystery novels, but sometimes we present one thing to people that we want them to think that we are, then we go about and we do something else who we really are. We want to pretend. Sometimes we claim to be citizens of heaven and yet live as strangers to God because we think no one will notice the difference. After all, we are not as bad as others around us, are we? I don't commit the sins they commit. And we do bring an offering to church, and we do plan on reading our Bibles and saying our prayers. I'll get around to it. I have good intentions. And often we live as strangers to God and try to claim that we're citizens of heaven, hoping that no one will really take a good look and notice. But the season of Lent reminds us that God knows that we may be able to fool ourselves and even those around us, but we can never, ever fool God. There's a story of an old burly linesman who played professional football. And he knew the tricks so he could stay out late when the team was partying and in the hotel room, and they had stricter curfews than most of the teams have today. And over the years, he had gotten it down to a science. He would make up his bed, he'd pile things up, and if the coach peeked in, he would think he was asleep. One night, he was in a hurry and didn't take the time, and he just took the tall lamp, tucked it under, put the bed, sheets over, and he left. Well, the coach did a little walk around, walked into his room, cut on the light. Then that bed lit up. The cross of Jesus is like that. It lays bare the thoughts of the human heart and reveals the inner person. If you want to know the answer to the question, review your thoughts and actions in light of the cross of Jesus. How does your life reflect Jesus? Dwight Moody tells a story about two inebriated or two drunk people who found their way to the dock one night after a long night of partying heavy. They were relieved to find that their boat was still there, and they decided to try to make it home, so they got in the boat and they began to row. They rowed hard in what was left of the night. But when the sun came up, they were dismayed to look and see that they were still in the exact same spot at the dock. One had forgotten to take the mooring line and take it off. The other one had forgotten to take up the anchor. Some of us can relate to that, unfortunately. We cannot live all of our hopes and our dreams and all our aspirations and all our goals tied and anchored to this world. We have to tie them to heaven. This world needs to be secondary to us, which I know is a hard thing. It's a hard thing for all of us because this is what we can see and this is what we can feel. But to be a child of God is to follow God as our Father, to live as citizens of heaven in our hearts, to have Jesus within us. I'll tell you this little story as we close. In his autobiography, Dr. A.J. Cronin tells of a neighboring family called Adams. Mr. Adams was an accountant in New York City, but he loved to go to his weekend home in Connecticut, worked in his garden with his little son, Sammy. When World War II broke out, Mrs. Adams, suggested that they take in a refugee, a young boy. Mr. Adams wasn't in favor of the idea, but he went along because this is what the wife wanted to do. The child they received came from an orphanage in Central Europe with the impossible name of Paul... blah, 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 blah. I can't even begin to pronounce it. Unfortunately, as Paul learned the English language of his new family in Connecticut, he also learned to manipulate the truth. In other words, he learned to lie. He found it easy to steal, to get into all kind of mischief, and it just broke Adam's heart many, many times. He did, however, develop a close relationship with Adam's little son, Sammy. One day, Paul, against the Pacific warning, went swimming in the stream that was polluted. They told him not to, and he got a raging fever, got really, really sick. Because of the possibility that it might be contagious, they told Paul and Sammy to stay apart. Didn't want Sammy to catch what Paul might have. Stay out of the room, just don't even go in there. Paul eventually pulled through the crisis, but one night, Sammy snuck into the room and slept with Paul. When Adams got up the next day, they saw Paul and Sammy face to face, breathing in those germs. And sure enough, Sammy caught the disease, and the fever raged on, and Sammy passed away in 4 days. Dr. Cronin remembered hearing about the tragedy while he was on his extended leave, and he wrote back to the Adams, his neighbors, telling him the sympathy, and he would understand if they didn't keep Paul and send him back because all of the heartaches and headaches, especially with the death of their son, if they sent him back. A few months upon returning from his leave, Dr. Cronin went next door to visit with the Adams and was surprised to see the same familiar sight of a man and a boy working side by side in the garden. Only this time, it was Paul working beside him. Mr. Cronin said, "You still have him with you then?" "Yes," Henry replied. "And he's doing much better now." Cronin turned to Paul and said, "All I can say is you are a lucky boy." And Henry interrupted and said, "You don't have to bother trying to pronounce his name anymore. He is now Paul Adams. We have adopted him. He is now the son that we lost." My friends, that's the kind of love that Jesus Christ has for each and every one of us. I think so often we forget it. Maybe we don't even understand it to begin with. A love that Jesus expresses in the face of threatened death. A love that goes about its business in spite of the consequences of what happened to Jesus personally. Love that adopts us as children, love that makes us citizens of heaven. So I just ask you again, who lives in you? May we all be able to say from the bottom of our hearts, Christ Jesus lives in me. Christ lives in me, and I live in him. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 303, "People Need the Lord." A book, if you're not in the Sunday school class, please sign the sheet so I'll know, because I need to order those books this week, and I'll pass them out next Sunday. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope you go thinking about your citizenship. Are you more bound to this world, or are you more bound to heaven? What guides your life? How do you respond to other people? Do you respond in love and kindness and patience? Who lives in you? Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.